Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help curveball.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nick's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live, was it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Feels like the summer wind's blowing in today. I'm actually going to go to a park and get some shots up with my daughter. Go put some shots up in the park. It's a nice day. You going to Rucker? The Oregon City Rucker, yes.
Nice, nice. Yes.
Gonna run those streets. Brad's gonna be there.
Brad, what's up, Brad? Was it Chad, too?
Jonathan, Chad, Colby. They'll be running skins and shirts.
Go put some buckets out. You guys want to play twos?
Jada, this is called Winners and Losers.
Yeah, yeah, we lost that round. Hey, Swags Plum's coming up at 2:15. We'll get back into the NFL draft. Are people excited for the NFL draft? I did a poll question on this, and to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised with the answers.
I got to be 100% genuine. I'm not. This is a draft that I can read about tomorrow. And
yeah.
Hey, you missed the first 15 picks. I know. But I know who got picked. So.
I don't need to react to it in the moment.
Yeah. But see, what constitutes, I think the better question would be, how many drafts do you really get jacked up for? Now, NFL guy that could text in and be like, every draft's important. Fine, I get who you are.
Right.
But when you ask that question, are you excited? How many drafts have you really been excited for? I remember what happened the year Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs traded up 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
I missed the start of that draft. You know where I found out Patrick Mahomes got traded? Or they traded up to get him?
Yeah.
I walked into a random bar in Beaverton. I was meeting up with friends, and I looked on their TV, and it said,
about that?
Chiefs trade, draft Patrick Mahomes. I said, look at that.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Andy Reid, good coach.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way with all NFL drafts, to be honest with you. There's not really any that stand out. Last year was slightly different just because of all the quarterbacks that were involved. And that was such a constant conversation. Who's going to take one? Which guy ends up falling? That had a little bit of intrigue to me.
It has more to do if your team has a top pick or you're in, you know, if you're in desperate need of help because your season sucked so bad last year. You're looking for inspiration. I think what could make it memorable is if the Cardinals don't take Kyler Murray, then everything is going to go sideways. Or two, you start seeing NFL teams just making trade after trade after trade. Teams moving up and down, trying to position themselves and jockeying for this, that, or the other thing. But I think because the best players for the most part in this draft are linemen and interior linebackers.
Yeah.
And that's not sexy.
Yeah. Right. The year, I don't know what happened, but there was a year where Primetime didn't do their show. I can't remember what it was, what the circumstances were, but you and I had to do the draft.
No, I think it was,
Primetime maybe was out doing their draft and we had to be on the air
We might have been a night show then, and maybe the draft started later that year or something.
We did the draft, and I remember it was the year it was like Eric Fisher.
Yeah, there was a bunch of no-name offensive linemen that went in the top 10.
And like Cam Jordan went third to the Dolphins. I remember you and I like said the name, and we're like, what do you know about him? And you were like, nothing. And I was like, me either. And people were texting in, they're like, how do you not know anything about Eric Fisher? Dude, shut up. Do you want to be that guy that acts like you know who all these offensive and defensive linemen are? We watched Quinnen Williams, we watched. He looked like a stud.
And you kind of roll the dice and you hope that he ends up being a stud. But what I do like about what the NFL's done, I do like the shifting of where the draft is held. The Nashville party, by the way, looks insane today. Bucks down there. Look at this. They got it on the TV right here. It's just a huge party.
Yeah, my future brother-in-law's there too. They just flew out to Nashville. They're hanging out.
I don't know why that threw me off the way you said that.
Why?
I don't know, because you're not married, so it's kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, getting married.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, man.
That's badass. And then the second thing is, this is going to be on ABC.
Oh, that's right. It is tonight.
This is going to outrate the Denver-San Antonio Game 6.
Oh, by a landslide.
By like 25 million people somehow.
Yeah, it won't even be close.
It won't be in the same stratosphere. Yeah.
But not in this city, though. I guarantee you more people will be watching Denver-San Antonio wanting to know who Portland's opponent's going to be.
You're probably right, but... it's really smart of them to put it on ABC.
Yeah, it is. I want to have some fun at the bottom of the hour, too, with our biggest, and just not just the ones we've written down, but historically, guys that you've whiffed on in either direction, or guys that you've hit on that maybe people would give you a lot of credit for. So just ponder that. We have a fill-in-the-blank variety on that. We've got some great responses on Twitter.
Can I go back to Tim Couch? Is that too?
No, that counts. Okay. Tim Couch counts. Let's get to a couple bits of audio, though. So Dame hits the game winner the other night. We were on Cloud 9 yesterday. I watched it again last night. I don't know about you, but they reshowed it. I watched a chunk of it last night. But after the game, Paul George had the quote of, "That's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot," which we, of course, made fun of yesterday. And the stats are out there of how good Dame was shooting from 30 feet or deep. Like he was great. He's been great all season and even better in the series, right? So, no, Paul George, you're an idiot. Not a bad shot. Well, on the pull-up podcast, which should have been hosted by Brandon Sprague, but you got screwed at the last minute.
I don't want to talk about that.
CJ McCollum's podcast.
I don't have my father doesn't run Starbucks.
No, yeah, you got passed up. You need a billionaire dad for those kind of jobs. But it's CJ McCollum's podcast, and good get by CJ. I don't know how he managed to do it, but he got Dame to call into his podcast.
Unbelievable, his ability to get that guest. This
guy's got connections, man. And so he asked Dame about the whole thing of bad shot, not, you know, this or that, and here's Dame's response to Paul George.
I literally work on those shots, and I don't work on it so I can just come out and just shoot it for the whole game. I work on it just because over my career, I know how much attention I'm going to get from defenses. So it's just like you just keeping stuff, adding more things, adding more and more, and keeping stuff in your pocket in case these type of situations do present itself. And even if it's not something you want to lean on, it's something that you have there that, you know, you worked on, you spent time doing, so you got confidence in it when the time does come. So that's why when I was just standing there, I was like, well, it's probably not good in a lot of people's eyes, but I'm comfortable with this and I'm confident in this. So to me, it's a solid shot. And I mean, for him to say that's a bad shot, I mean, that's just kind of being a poor sport. If anything, it was bad defense because I had the ball in my hands with 2 seconds and I wasn't going to drive, so. Maybe he should have just bodied up.
Exactly how I felt, too.
Amen.
That was terrible defense. He clearly wanted to shoot a three, and you just stood 7 feet away and hoped that your length could contest.
If you close out on him sooner, you realize that like 4 seconds, 5 seconds, and instead of doing it at 2 seconds, if you close out sooner than you should have, Dame has nothing. He's throwing up. He's either trying to get a foul call and jump into you, which the refs wouldn't call in that moment, or he's throwing a fadeaway 37-footer up. If you close out when you should have.
And I think that, first of all, I'm glad he responded, and I'm enjoying this victory lap tour that he's taking of, I mean, you guys talked all that S the whole series.
Right.
And I sent you home.
And now it's a bad shot. Like, the shot that I sent you home is a bad shot.
And like, your teammate is right next to you, and the dude was 11 of 31 from the field, but Dame took a bad shot. When you make it and you shoot it a clip of, 65%, 66?
Yeah.
Whatever it was he was from 30-plus feet, that's where the overall idea that it's a bad shot is right, but in the moment, you are dead wrong, and you need to address that. And I thought Paul George, Dame, hit it. He's kind of being a poor sport. I think he knew that that question was going to be asked about defense and Dame hitting that shot over him, and he had no other response other than to say that's a bad shot. And I'm sorry, in that series, it wasn't. And I'm glad Dame's defending himself a little bit. We're going to be a little more homer for Dame than any other city. But
sure, of course we are.
I'm glad that he's coming out, and I still don't think he's going to change his approach of how he talks trash. He'll talk back if you say something to him, but other than that, he puts his head down and just works. I'm glad he's coming out after defeating that team and just saying, shut up. Just shut up. And Russell Westbrook, by the way, was interviewed in their exit interviews.
Yeah.
No awareness at all of what's going on. I like the approach of, yeah, I don't care so much. You guys care. You talk about it. I'm happy in my life. That's healthy.
Sure.
But you wouldn't see Dame have that approach if they lost for the third straight year in round one, 2 years with Paul George next to him. Dame wouldn't have that approach.
Yeah. Westbrook had a quote. This was from Royce Young. He tweeted this out on the fallout of his back and forth with Dame and Dame beating him. Sorry, it's a little lengthy, but he said, it doesn't change much, man, honestly. If you want to determine my career and what I've done over 2-3 games, you go ahead. That doesn't mean bleep to me. It doesn't. I'm going to wake up, like I told you before, 3 beautiful kids. I'm going to wake up and smile, be happy, enjoy my life. Doesn't change anything about, talk about if I'm playing bad or who's better, who's not. I know who I am as a person. That's the biggest thing I can say about myself. I know who I am. I know what I'm able to do. I know my capabilities. I know what I've done. I know what I can and can't do, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with who I am. I'll just be blessed to wake up every day and enjoy my life. To talk about, I don't even know what you're talking about, but whatever that is, you guys can keep talking about it, and I'm going to keep living my life.
Now,
that was his response.
That's a healthy approach to maybe the overall being a pro athlete philosophy, but when you're paid the supermax and you're paid to be the leader in the face, you do have to step up, and even in times where maybe you don't care as much as people think you do, you still have to be accountable. Zero accountability.
Right. Right. I love that response from Dame. Oklahoma City's going home. I love the way he responded to it. Sour grapes by Paul George to have that quote. And I appreciate the back and forth. Love it. Love the nastiness that's coming from Damian Lillard. We have another bit of NBA audio we didn't get to there. Charles Barkley had mustard on his tie last night. Or not mustard, barbecue sauce on his tie. The story behind it's interesting. We'll get to that to close out the show. NFL draft talk again, bottom of the hour. But now it's time for Swag's Bag of Plums. That is next on The Fan. Oh, yeah, ordered a couple of duck hats. They just came in. I got a boat hat.
You got a nice beige boat hat with the new cartoon duck on it.
A little beige boat hat. It's going to go good with the mustache. That's rock and roll. We'll get back to the NFL draft coming up bottom of the hour.
Can you wear that at the golf tournament, please?
You mean to wear the boat hat at the golf tournament or the mustache?
You need to wear it at the golf tournament because people need to see this hat.
I'll regrow. I'm going to have to. The fiance's only going to let me get away with a mustache for like 2 days, and then I'm going to be demanded to shave it.
Yeah.
But I'll grow another one in for the golf tournament if you want.
Just let you enjoy a weekend and then move on with it.
Give me a weekend with a stash, and then, you know, the parties will agree to move on from that point. So
how does she? So she obviously hates it.
She hates it. Yeah. Yeah. She does. She general facial hair is okay.
Sure.
But yeah, when I go. Yeah, when I go mustache.
Well, you also have the interesting approach of you've tucked your polo into your shorts.
I did. Everybody's commenting on my attire
today.
It's
just your look's throwing me off today.
Mustache, tucked in shirt.
I don't know how to feel.
What's going on? Speaking of looks, can we make fun of you in skinny jeans at some point today?
I wish Instagram didn't exist.
Can we? Your wife was a great Instagram follow yesterday. And we'll get to that.
She's on a kick to buy me pants for some reason.
Oh.
I didn't ask for jeans.
She just bought you jeans.
I didn't mention jeans, but she's going to stores. And by the way, one of them is Forever 21.
Of course.
And she's buying me skinny jeans. And so I'm talking jeans where my legs, I.
By the way, we can just
breathe.
Play the music. We're into Swag's Plums at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just, we're doing a brief That's everybody's okay. plums first.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Now, are we going to get a fashion show? Is that
no.
what this?
No. Oh. Yeah, I think
I did. She was like, let me get a picture. And I was like, no. And she was like, I'm going to do a poll. Okay.
Yeah, no, she put them all up on her Instagram stories. So I was watching, voting last night. It was great content.
You voted yes, didn't you?
Yeah. Great content, yeah.
I don't know.
One of them was very skinny. You look like Kramer. You couldn't quite move your legs.
That's a good way to put it. That's how I felt.
You're like walking around on like stilts. And then they were a little shy of your shoes. They didn't quite make it all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah, those got returned.
Yeah. I thought that was the look, though.
Is that the thing
Not
now?
For me.
I don't know.
For me. I need some room. My legs have to breathe a little bit in jeans.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, when my fiance buys me jeans, they are usually Costco jeans, and they are total dad jeans.
Oh.
Like, you just picture a dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm weird with jeans, though. Like, I don't like the jean material. I have to have that different soft jeans. If you know what I'm talking about.
You got
to
have candy ass jeans.
Yeah, you don't like some good old-fashioned Levi denim or something?
I do not at all. They feel weird on my skin. I don't like layers.
Jim Harbaugh would make fun of you.
I get real itchy.
You don't like pants. Join my crusade.
No, because you're, when it snows and rains, I still wear shorts, guy. That's, I will never get on board with that.
I'm inside all day. What the hell?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
What do we got today, Swigard?
Let's see. Where do we want to start? I saw this.
How many times did you make love to your wife this week?
I saw this. It's an all-you-can-eat ice cream festival that's coming to Portland.
So three. Good job.
All-you-can-eat ice cream festival?
Yeah. July 20th and 21st, Saturday, Pioneer Square. So supposedly you pay like one fee. And although there's already controversy because they list Salt and Straw is going to be on there, and the Oregonian reached out to Salt and Straw and got an email, we're not part of this event. So, but they say Tillamook, Umpqua, Alpenrose, some other ones.
I don't know if it's a hot take, but I want to go to this, I don't need Salt and Straw. You can tell me Tillamook's there, and I prefer that. I don't need lavender ice cream with salt and vinegar.
50 Licks, Ruby Jewel, Panolo Gelato.
Ruby Jewel is really good.
I'm not familiar with Ruby Jewel. Should I be?
I don't really.
Yes. Ruby Jewel is delicious.
I'm not familiar with much ice cream in the area. Oh, really? No.
Is an all-you-can-eat ice cream, is that a good idea?
If they're charging like $12 a person,
I think it was $10 for kids and $15 for adults. And they said there's going to be entertainment, some music.
You're not going to get your money's worth.
No, if I...
You can't just go nuts on ice cream. At some point, you get the brain freeze and...
A double scoop and a waffle cone and you're going to be full. You're not going to go, I'm going to go get another double scoop waffle cone.
Yeah, of all the things that you can abuse and overdo, ice cream is so far down the list.
It ain't ice cream.
Yeah, and you get brain freezes. No thanks.
Do you guys eat your ice cream real fast? You keep saying that. I've never gotten brain freeze from eating ice cream.
Really?
I don't know.
You're not licking hard enough.
I can put down a pint of Ben & Jerry's. It doesn't take long on the couch late at night when I get that crave.
Very true.
Am I the only one? Like, I don't mean disrespect because I've been there several times. My wife's actually a big fan. But like, olive oil ice cream or... lavender bedsheet ice cream. I don't need that. Not a fan. Ruby Jewel and Tillamook, they give me what I want. It's like, hey, we have vanilla and mint and strawberry. And
The only one that's like a non-chain ice cream one that I know, there's a little like food cart ice cream place in Selwood that's really good. I can't remember the name of it though. But it's like they make their own kind of thing and that's really good.
Yeah.
All right. Gambling news, sports gambling. There have been three other states this week that have sent bills to the governor's office to be approved that will legalize sports gambling.
Let's go.
Montana being one of them. They were already part of that grandfather clause that Oregon is technically a part of, but I think it's more of they need to put actual legislation as to what it will consist of, how it will work, the infrastructure sort of things. But then Iowa and Indiana both sent bills to the governor's office. They would be the ninth and 10th states. And they're modeling the New Jersey thing where they expect the bulk of it to be online. And so the way it works in New Jersey is, so you can set up an account or whatever with whatever sports book. And it's got a GPS function in it. So when you get inside the state borders, then you can go make wagers. And so Indiana's hoping that since they're right next to Illinois and Chicago's not far away, people passing through town will.
Can we just bring up that we're like 3 months away from us having this app available?
Yeah, I saw some things that it's in the works. It's coming.
We should get somebody on from the lottery next week.
Well, we need to get the right person on from the lottery.
We've had a guy on before that was really good and informative about it, and that was months and months and months ago when we were first kicking the tires on it.
Yeah, we'll reach out. I saw something on Oregon Live that they want to do it, but they're concerned how far to go. I also want somebody who can speak to, if the lottery is allowed, how does that affect the compacts with the casinos? Do they have to be allowed to do the same things the state can? There's a few more pieces to it.
Well, basically, I think what I've read too is their initial push is going to be to get it back into stores in the short term, where you just go buy your lottery ticket. Yeah. You're going to be able to gamble on sports like the old Sports Action first.
Yeah.
And then they're hoping to have an app up and running for football season. And, of course, you will not be allowed to bet on amateur sports. So you can't bet on college football, March Madness, that kind of stuff. Because of the NCAA thing and the amateur, they don't want to deal with any of that. They don't want to piss anybody off, which whatever. But you can start. They want to have an app up and running by the NFL season.
So I don't know what the did they change any of the verbiage between the NCAA and Portland? Because that was why we got rid of sports action.
No, the NCAA came out and basically said anybody that had something, a state that had something scheduled on the books already, because they didn't know how it was going to work. Everything in current place will not be affected if states legalize it.
It's such a joke, by the way, that the NCAA tries to act all high and mighty when in like 4 or 5 years they're going to go, on our games.
I believe the state of Oregon was sued because of sports action.
That was the NBA that sued them.
Yeah.
Because they offered NBA at one point,
right.
And the NBA sued them and they took
it
off.
And that was a part of it as well. By the way,
I don't need to vote basketball. I'm good on that.
Local lottery officials. I think you can, though. I think the NBA will be back a part of it.
Yeah, but I don't need to. I'm okay if it doesn't.
Local lottery officials have said that they are expected to pull in $330 million in the first year.
Yeah.
That's just their expectation. And then $680 million by the third year.
Well, and they're looking at what New Jersey has pulled in already through like 9 months. It's like
$1 billion or
like
something.
$2.6 billion or something. And then the other concern, so there were some that thought, well, this is going to affect Nevada. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. In March, Nevada took in a record $596.8 million handle total. It was the single largest month of sports wagering in terms of the total action. It actually wasn't their big profit. They lost. The margin wasn't as big because people won more with the NCAA tournament. But their stuff's still going up. So
I don't understand the thinking behind that, because Vegas will always be a vacation.
It's
for
Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah, it's still Vegas.
How many people actually just went to Vegas to go sports gamble?
No.
I love doing it, but it was part of the thing.
That's one of the main reasons why I like to go, but not the only reason.
But that was just something you did. Sure. You didn't like say, okay, I'm just going to go sit in a sports book for whatever. You'd take in a show, go to a tables, you'd do some other stuff. So I think it'll actually help, because now a lot of other people are going to get more familiar with all the action, and they do it, and then they want to go to Vegas for whatever reason.
You can't replicate flying in and seeing the Strip by going to Lincoln City.
No, and especially now there's going to be an NFL football team. There's an NHL team. Who knows if they get another franchise at some point. The Pac-12, I'm imagining, is going to be playing their, conference tournament games. You might get some more college football down there when the stadiums get built. So there you go. And then I saw this earlier in the week. Jim Beam, in association with the University of Kentucky, is creating an educational program for distillers through their College of Agriculture, Food and Environment. Courses will cover engineering, chemistry, law, horticulture, forestry, food science, entomology. They're trying to make sure that the industry is growing, the demand for bourbon, not only in the United States, is growing across the country. And I'm a little hacked off that this major wasn't available to me when I was going to school. Is there a major that is somewhat commonplace now, or you're seeing more programs of it? You're like, why, where was this when I was going to school?
You know what I really wanted to do, and I almost did, but I'm not smart enough and I'm not good enough at math. This was commonplace, still is commonplace, but I really wanted to study was golf course design.
Yeah.
There was major programs you could go to across the country where that was like your main thing, but there was way too much math involved. That was never going to fly with me.
I wouldn't say there's really anyone that didn't really exist. I would say one that blew up after I graduated more was the, I'm blanking on the name, but like basically how to brew beer at Oregon State.
Yeah.
What is that called? It's
brewmaster?
I keep wanting to say horticulture for some reason.
It's in the school of horticulture.
I forget the name of the major, but it's a major at Oregon State. Major in that, and obviously it blew up once the brew scene here in Portland.
Well, yeah, obviously growing up with, Papa Swag, science teacher, I was exposed to science, and I'm like, well, I don't want to go be an engineer and whatever. But chemistry, engineering, math, I was good at all those things. I was like, where the hell was all this stuff when I was Going to school. Damn it.
I don't know what the living would be, but if they ever develop like a sports gambling-esque major, and I don't know what you center that around, that would be very interesting.
I think it's cool. Into sports analytics. I think UNLV has...
But like specifically with gambling and not just like the breakdown of whatever
else.
Yeah,
it has to do with the whole gaming industry. Now,
fermentation. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Fermentation science. Yeah, Tex Police is on us.
No, I think UNLV has a gaming major. I don't know if there's one still that's just specifically sports betting, but casino management and wagering and all of those sorts of things. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to think of majors that didn't exist when any of us went that are there now.
There's probably some new technology stuff.
African studies at North Carolina.
Does that still exist?
I don't know.
That's still out there? That's still a thing?
I would have had a lot more free time.
I mean, hey, I could have had a better GPA. Maybe it wouldn't have taken me 5 years to graduate if I had that program.
I always like to pretend that I cared about other majors. Like, I would have been interested to major in that. And I'm also like, no. Like, theology.
Not your cup of tea?
No, I actually find that very fascinating when
you just don't want to major in it, or you do?
No. It's like one of those, you pretend that you're interested enough to major in it, but reality is you're not.
She must have been real cute.
I took two theology classes in college.
Did you?
I did.
We had one, and the professor, I had to take it as an elective. It was a mix of something and theology, and the professor came out was just like, so when we evolved from the apes.
Ooh, controversial start.
Dude, and this kid stood up. I'm talking stadium classroom.
I'm out of here.
No, he stands up and he goes, Jesus Christ is the Savior. You're teaching devil's work. And he stormed out. And it was quiet for like a minute. And the professor goes, so the speculation is the jaw, and he just kept going. It didn't faze him.
Didn't even bat an eye. There you go, Swags Plums, every Thursday at 2:15. Let's get back into the NFL draft. We asked a question earlier. Yours are welcome. What's your biggest whiff, either positive or negative, with the draft? Guy that you thought was going to be a total stud, ended up being a bust, or vice versa. This guy's going to suck, and he ends up panning out. We got a couple of good ones. Also, where's the excitement level for the NFL draft now that we're just a couple hours away, 2.5 hours away from getting this thing underway? Some NFL draft talk next. Just because you love tonight, please don't you think it's going to stay that way. Hey, why did Charles Barkley have barbecue sauce on his tie? Get to that. Which I can actually, I can relate to him a little bit. I'll explain that as well. So NFL drafts tonight, guys. Catch the fever.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm getting the sense. Swigard's intrigued because he's going to be at our draft party.
No, Swigard's intrigued of being Swigard.
He's swag. You know, draft, he's the commish. Itself. Hey, he's got the haircut. He's going to be rocking the suit. He's dialed in on draft
he's
night.
He's got his role today, and that's what he's concerned with.
Outside of that, maybe I'm just this way every year with the NFL draft. It's not one. The only thing that gets me amped up for any draft, really, is one, is my team picking high. Mm-hmm. Like in the NBA draft, when the Blazers have a top 10 pick, like that's a big deal. Where do you go? Who are they going to get? Like even when the Blazers don't have a top 10 pick, it's still a decent conversation. It's Anthony Simons. What are we doing? So that does it for me. And then the other one is if you have local guys. Like if you have an Oregon State player or the year Mariota came out. Like where is he going to go? Is he one? Is he two? We all kind of knew, but is that how it's going to play out? Like those are the things that'll get me roped in and interested. And I'm going to follow it. I'm curious to see if Kyler Murray goes one and then how the draft board goes from there. But I'm not one that gets overly jazzed about the NFL draft.
Yeah, me either. I don't really have much to add.
Okay, are we done here?
Well, because this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get off. We're going to leave the show today at 3:00. I will go pick my kids up. I'll probably run to the store and grab a couple things.
Yeah.
Probably take them to the park, play outside, enjoy the weather. And by the time I get home, turn the TV on, turn the computer on, see some stuff.
Sure.
I'll have missed the first 28 picks. And I'll go, oh.
Look at that. That's how it
shaked out.
They
took Murray one. Cool.
That's how it went.
There's not, I don't know what, you don't miss anything by missing the draft. Do you know what I mean? I can find all the best points made by Kyler Murray, why he should have been one, from Mel Kiper or whoever the hell is the analyst on that stage. I don't have to see that live. Now, my team is picking high. They're second overall. I still don't have interest because they're going defensive lineman for like the ninth straight year.
It feels like the Niners have taken a defensive lineman for a decade straight.
Well, I'm trying to think. So they went Armstead.
Old Smith.
They went Buckner.
Yeah.
Solomon Thomas.
I think probably before that they took a non-defensive lineman.
Probably going to go Buckner or Williams or Bosa today. Yeah, so yeah. There's four right there. You mentioned Alden Smith in 2011. It's like every year the Niners have a high pick. Guess what? They're taking a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Great. Yay. Exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to watch him in the trenches.
I think the intrigue, I'm more interested to see, you know, we hear all this smokescreen stuff about teams wanting to move up, teams wanting to move down. Is this a year where it actually like goes berserk bonkers? And then you have the whole, what are the Raiders going to do with three picks? Daniel Snyder now says, I'm running the show in here. There's usually some sort of moment in the middle of it and some trade goes down or somebody makes a reach and then it gets intriguing. But yeah, this is a testament to how big a deal the NFL is, because essentially it's 5 hours of taking attendance.
That's all it. Yeah, you're just calling names.
You're lining up picking teams for kickball on.
Right.
That's all it is.
It's not an actual sporting event.
You know, the funny thing to do too is if you guys want to play a fun game, let's say you're one of these people that's gonna miss the draft, and maybe you hear some of it on the radio.
Sure.
Obviously, Isaac and Suker are gonna always chime in with the pick with Goodell. But play the fun game of don't listen to any breakdown of the people at the draft. Don't read any think pieces from writers covering the team. Look at the draft and give your own opinion and then find out how that opinion stacked up. So Swag mentioned the teams that reach, right? The teams that trade way up and they go get their player.
Somebody will. You know somebody's going to move up and get Haskins or whoever it might be.
But sometimes you might find that, oh, I don't think that's that big a reach. And then you go home and they're like, I can't believe they reached. And you go, oh. Right.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I find that to be a little game that I'll play from time to time if I don't get to watch the draft live.
We asked the poll question, how excited are you for the NFL draft? 53% of you say you don't care. Love that. By the way, we had a P1 that responded to that poll question by creating his own graph about interest in the NFL draft. And it said amount given, and it was basically correlating to where are the Blazers at in the NBA playoffs. And it was at the bottom when there's a lot of interest, it's the Blazers are not relevant right now, so then people are talking about it. But then the line goes to could get to the conference finals, and the I don't give a bleep about the NFL draft line continues to go up, which I think is a pretty fair way to assess it. We've had our mind on other things here locally than wondering if Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall.
Well, here's the ultimate. What if Oklahoma City would have won game five? Game six would have been
tonight.
Tonight.
Would have been tonight at 6:30.
And
yeah, nobody would give a rat's ass about the NFL draft.
Would be caring about the NFL draft. Even Isaac and Suk, I'd imagine most of their show would be Blazers game six. Are they going to survive this series or blow
it?
Yeah,
we
had that happen one year. We were at Grand Central Bowl, and there was a Blazer playoff game on the night of the draft.
Was it the Rockets game? The game six here?
Might have been.
No, because Swag was at that game.
Yeah, but that game isn't until 7.
No, but I was there for doing commissioner. So no, it wasn't.
Yeah, okay. It could have been maybe the game five in Houston or something. It could have been one of the road games or something like that.
Maybe it was even before.
Could have been.
But yeah, that's the NFL draft. It's going to do fine in the ratings, but I think locally, to his point, the listener is like nobody cares about that draft. If the Blazers have a game six at OKC tonight.
So we asked the fill in the blank question at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter today, guys that you have whiffed on or hit on. With your NFL draft predictions.
Yeah.
I think, and we'll rattle through some of these quickly. We got a handful of Johnny Manziels chimed in, which I enjoy those.
People actually thought that was going to be a thing, huh?
They did. P1 Deal said Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley would said you never draft a running back that high. Was wrong on those. Chris said I thought Leinart was going to win a Super Bowl in Arizona. Ryan Leaf, we got a handful of those. Aaron Curry. P1 Andrew said, as a Lions fan, where do I start? Charles Rogers thought that was going to be great. Mike Williams, Roy Williams loved it.
Yeah.
Reggie Williams from Washington. That's one. I thought he was going to be good.
Yep. I've long said that one.
Somebody said, I thought Jared Goff was going to be a buzz. I thought Taylor Mays was going to be the greatest defensive player of all time.
That's a good one. Cause I did too. I thought Taylor Mays was going to be a beast.
He did a handful more of Jared Goff's. I think my biggest whiff is probably all time Brady Quinn. I was all aboard the Brady Quinn train.
You and your Notre Dame guys.
I don't know what it is.
What is it about Notre Dame?
I liked Jimmy Clausen, too. I don't know why.
You did like Jimmy Clausen. Yeah. I remember that.
And they gave up on him after 1 year and took Cam Newton. I loved me some Brady Quinn coming out of Notre Dame. I thought he was going to be a stud. And then my biggest hit is probably, in terms of a guy that didn't go where he should have, is Russell Wilson. Watching a ton of Russell Wilson in college, I never understood why he wasn't a first-round pick. It was only the dual, he's a spread guy and he's small, which was just BS to me. Like, that dude could ball in college, and that was a home run pick for Seattle, and I loved that when they took him in the third round.
I was writing down some of the names because there's probably too many, but just as a snapshot for me, Taylor Mays was on my list. Mike Williams was on my list. I watched him play at USC, and I just was like, that dude.
That dude's the real deal.
That's a done deal.
Yeah.
Napoleon Kaufman, who had a fine career.
Napoleon Kaufman, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Napoleon Kaufman was going to be this small stud because I watched a lot of him at UW. My cousin was going to school at that time. Cade McNown.
Yeah. You're a Cade McNown supporter.
I thought he was the next Steve Young. I'm sorry, lefty. Larry Johnson from Penn State. I thought he was going to set the NFL record books. He had a couple good years in Kansas City, but didn't do much. Stephen Paya, I thought was going to be what Aaron Donald currently is because he could bench press a lot, and I watched him play.
How strong he was.
Couldn't believe that he didn't hit on a better level.
I love doing these, man. I love it. And that's something to keep in mind, too, just tonight when people are sharing their thoughts on picks. Old Takes Exposed is a great follow.
I feel like one of the more universal ones has to be Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. Matt Leinart, I think, was a pretty universal one.
I was okay with him. I was way more Reggie Bush is going to be transcendent.
He's the next Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Nope. So there you go. Keep yours coming in. 55305 is better today. Text line. Hey, how did Charles Barkley get a barbecue stain on his tie? That sounds like a country song. And we'll answer the poll questions. Also, do we know who Portland's opponent will be at the end of the night? We'll close out the show there next on The Fan. No, I won't be afraid. You ever turn something on TV and just start crying? Get so emotionally moved, you start crying.
I don't say this as a proud guy, I don't cry.
Yeah, you're not a crier.
No.
You know what I watch?
Death has to make me cry.
Okay. What about life? You didn't cry when your kids were born?
No.
Really? No. Okay.
I mean, like, I felt really bad that my wife was in pain, and, like, that was a very happy moment for me, but no.
Sure, you didn't cry, huh?
Again, I'm not bashing people who do. That's a moment where I could see you telling me, dude, I cried when Smudge was born.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't really cry much.
You know what I watched a chunk of last night while I missed the second and third quarter of Clippers and Warriors.
Did you watch Marley and Me? Because that could get you.
I did not. You know what was on CMT?
Pure Country with George Strait? I don't know what the hell.
Rudy was on last night.
Do you still cry when you watch that?
I mean, I hadn't seen it in a while.
You've seen that movie probably 100 times.
Rudy.
There's no way that movie made you tear up at all.
No, it didn't make me tear up. But it still pulls at the heartstrings. Okay, let's get to this.
No,
so,
it doesn't.
This story is from TNT last night, where Charles Barkley had a barbecue stain on his tie.
Well, he had a stain, and Kenny was like, sure. Can we talk about the stain here? And this is at the end of the Inside the NBA.
So this is like 3 a.m. Atlanta time probably for him. Like that Golden State game got over late, then they go for like an hour afterwards. So this is their end of the night, and just enjoy this story.
What is it? Food stains? What's on my tie?
It's just a little.
No, I know. You know, can I tell the story?
When you threw rent,
you got to now.
But we're in the back.
Yeah.
And the game is on. But there was this young group singing. Singing on the late night show.
You said
and then Ariana Grande walks out because that was their big, like their dream to see him. So I'm watching the game and it's getting intense. And I look over and I saw him tearing up and almost crying. So I thought he was on the phone and getting bad news. And I looked. And he was crying because the kids met Ariana Grande. So those are tear stains on your thing because Ariana Grande.
I did. I got emotional. I was watching James Corden, and these three little kids, they won a talent show.
And he saw Ernie, literally tears.
I was just crying. Excited. I was excited for the little kids.
Oh, my God.
And like when I was.
Those are good moments.
Come on, man. I don't have no problem being emotional.
You know, you're a grown man. It's, you know,
I got emotional.
Crying because some kids met Ariana Grande.
They were so excited, man.
Oh, man. You were too.
Chuck, I'm not hating on that.
Thank you, Ernie.
I am.
Just because you're evil.
I am.
You got, hey, just listen.
You got a big Valentine
in
there,
man. Just because y'all got the heart of a flea.
Love that back and forth. You imagine walking and seeing Barkley cry over something like that? When was the last time you cried over something real random, though?
Oh, God. No, I don't know. At that level.
It's usually something like Sunday morning, if you wake up early, like the dog wakes me up early.
You cry when your dog wakes
you
up?
No. Oh.
I want to go to sleep.
And so then you can't go back to sleep. So you're like flipping through. There's usually not much sporting events on. So you go across the E60 and like Tom Rinaldi's got some story.
E60s can do it to you.
About,
I've cried over an E60
before. The big feature ones or whatever. And you're not like sobbing, but you're just, it's just trickling down your cheek.
Can I give you a heartless story from an E60?
He started making fun of the kid or something.
No.
No.
Kid was homeless.
I was watching E60 and there was Outside Lines E60, kind of the same thing for me, but it was one of those shows and it was something about somebody who lost a leg and they became like a ultra marathon runner type person. Mm-hmm. And it was a really awesome kick-ass story.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Badass human.
I'd say so, yeah.
And I was watching this on the couch and we watched the whole thing and my wife turns and she goes, "Why are we watching this?" And she's crying. And I go, "I don't know, I was interested in it." She's like, "Are you not sad?" And I'm like, "What? She's doing well with her legs. She's a great runner."
It's a happy story.
She's like, "Why aren't you crying?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'm happy for her, but I don't know."
Wow.
I sometimes really wonder if I'm soulless.
Maybe this is why your wife wants to buy you skinny jeans. She thinks it'll make you more emotional.
No, I think she has a certain type, and I'm not that type.
Oh, you're not the type. She's trying to mold you.
She wants me to be like 32-year-old skater bro, and I'm not going to be 32-year-old skater bro.
Do we need to go get you a beanie?
I was trying to think. The last time I cried was probably the time I told you guys I had to put that dog down that I hated. It's only death. Like, death is the only thing that will get me to cry.
How about this one? People said great renditions of national anthems.
Nope. No, that never even comes close.
I might get goosebumps, but I don't think I come to tears. Yeah.
I get goosebumps in person. Like, the Moda Center's had some really good singers. That will give me goosebumps. On TV, never.
Somebody said, Swag's right. Estrogen levels are higher in the morning.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Also, Swag might have not been sharing the full story there. I think him and Lady Swag are four-time-a-weekers. So the dog waking up, maybe interrupting something.
Go back to sleep.
Don't get your nose out of there.
They said college game day pieces always make me cry.
Okay. Again, Tom Rinaldi.
Yeah, Tom Rinaldi, that bastard. Somebody great said narrative. Jim Abbott, E60 got me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
37-foot game winners, that could do it to you.
Those are happy tissues.
That's tears of joy.
Yeah, I think there's a difference there. Tears of joy over winning something as opposed to tears of like a sad story. I think
crying is crying for me. Like if you're crying because you're happy, you're sad. Like I think it's a very healthy thing for people to be doing.
Then you're an unhealthy person, man. We need to make you cry.
I have real issues.
We need to come up with ways to make you cry.
But I think people should not. I see onions. I don't cry when I cut onions.
Really?
Yeah, it's very weird.
I bawl like a baby when I cut onions.
You are soulless.
You are, man.
I might be soulless.
You have issues, dude.
I have deep-seated issues that I probably should see a therapist about, but I don't.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy, and I don't think people should discourage other people from crying.
Can we live broadcast your therapy sessions?
I don't think you guys want to hear some of the stories that have happened in my life.
It's going to be one of those, like...
I can edit things, but... Yeah.
Can you edit, like, an hour? It's dark.
Oh, yeah.
When Jerry finally gets George to open up, and he says, "Okay, here it goes." And then he tells him, like, an hour-long thing, and then Jerry's like, "Good luck with all that." Gonna be one of those kind of things.
I did love in that scene, George is like,
"But no, I thought we were being emotional here. I thought we were." No, we're not doing that anymore. Dude, I don't know what's wrong with you.
On the emotional thing, tomorrow we should play the Blazers, and I want to give them full credit for this. They put a piece together of all of the fans who shared on social media their reactions to Dame's shot.
Oh, that's great. We'll play that
And
for
I
sure.
haven't heard it, but the very first picture, the still frame, is a lady with glasses and her mouth is open. She's screaming
And I can't wait to play it. So we may bring that to the show tomorrow.
I like that. Hey, quickly.
Oh, and we have Chris Haynes at 1 o'clock.
Chris Haynes tomorrow, 1 o'clock.
Yahoo Sports.
Quickly, do we know who the Blazers will play tomorrow?
Yes, Denver.
Denver wins tonight? Swag?
No.
No, Spurs. I'm going to say no, too. I'm going to take the Spurs. I think there's a game 7. There you go. If you missed our mock draft, we'll tweet it out. We had 8 of the 10. Not bad. That's a B-. That's a B-, man. Well done. That'll do it for us, folks. Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Enjoy the NFL draft. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number 1's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Ooh, ooh, baby. I want you back. Yeah, 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 yeah. I want you back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.